So let us pray. God, we just thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you for this time of worship. God, I decrease in this place today that you may increase. Have your way, speak your word. I ask that it goes forth with accuracy, with boldness, and with clarity. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. So, amen. All right, I want to break the ice just a little bit. I'm not going to say I'm a call and response type of preacher, but if I can get everybody that's willing and able to raise your right hand, amen. You can put it down. Amen. Now you can leave today and say the preacher moved you. Amen. So you don't get moved by anything else today. You just got moved. Amen. So when I was speaking to Jim, when he asked me to minister the word, I said, I asked him, did he have a theme? And he said, the glory of God. So I'll be coming with a theme today. I'm dealing with the glory of God. And I did give honor to my wife. Amen. I want to make sure I do that. Amen. So we'll be coming from John chapter 11, starting at the very first verse. And if I was to leave a thought with you on today, it would be simply this: 4 days later. So 4 days later, and I want to talk about what it requires to receive something from God. We have to operate by faith. So 4 days later, so I want you to see and understand as we matriculate through the text, we're going to see that God does not always show up when we expect them to. God does not always come when we call him. And if I could use an illustration, it would be this. It is a seed that is planted. It first must be buried. And we have to understand from an agricultural standpoint that when we bury a seed, that is not lost. Some people may say that the seed is gone, the seed is dead, it's over. But it's one thing that the farmer knows that the observer cannot see. He understands that when he plants the seed, it's just a process that the seed has to go through. Some people may say that the seed is dead. Some people may say it's buried. Some people may say it's no hope for it. But the seed must be buried and go through a process in order for it to produce what it is expected to produce. So this morning, we're going to look at Lazarus. I know that's a familiar passage of scripture. All you Bible scholars out there are probably familiar with it. But one thing I want you to remember as we go through the text, that we all have a Lazarus. We all have prayers that's unanswered, dreams that's delayed, promises that may seemingly be buried, a situation that may seem to be irreversible, but God wants us to see through this text that it's not over. So 4 days later, as we go through the text, I just want you to keep saying that 4 days later, and you're going to understand where we're going in just a minute. See, sometimes we're going to look at this miracles. Miracles happen immediately. Sometimes prayers, I remember when I first got saved, it seemed like I couldn't get the prayer out of my mouth before God answered the prayer. But tell your neighbor, live long enough. And sometimes those prayers may seem to go unanswered. So sometimes it seems like doors are opened immediately. But what do we do after 4 days when what we've been believing God for, what we've been expecting, hasn't happened yet? So what do we do after the 4 days? See, the prayer's not answered, it's 4 days later. The doctor's report hasn't changed, it's still 4 days later. The marriage seems to be still struggling, it's four symbolically days later. The career seems to be uncertain, but it's still 4 days later. And so as we look at this text, I want you to really analyze it, because the Bible talks about Lazarus being a friend of Christ, being a friend of Jesus. And so that reminded me of the question of theodicy when people say, why does bad things happen to good people? Why is it seemingly a good person can go through a catastrophic situation? In other words, God wants us to know that he is responsible for the outcome, but we are responsible for the process. So some things God allows us to go through is intentional. And let me get into the text so you can say I did give you a scripture. Verse 1 says, now a certain man named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and Martha, was sick. So first of all, the scripture doesn't give us this information just by happenstance. It says Lazarus, which in the Greek language means God or whom God helps. And it says that he was from the town of Bethany, which symbolizes a house of depression or misery or affliction. So that's an oxymoron. So the one that God loves, the one that God helps, finds himself in a place of affliction. That's interesting because the Bible says many are the afflictions of the Lord, but we are going to have to go through afflictions, but God will deliver us out of them all. Chapter 1 of Exodus, verse number 12 says, the more they afflicted the people of God, the more they multiply. So to be afflicted means to be pressed, to be squeezed, to be tormented. So the more God allows us to be afflicted, it's because he is trying to produce something out of us. The olive has to go through a crushing process to produce the oil. Verse number 2, and I'm going to move. It says, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with the hair whose brother Lazarus was sick. Let me get into verse number 3. It says, therefore his sisters sent unto him saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. So, to be loved in the Greek language is phileo. It means to be approved, to be liked, to be a friend, to be kindly towards. So, here is God's Christ in the flesh, friend that has gone sick. And verse number 4 says, and when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So it says, and when Jesus heard. How many of us have been in situations, circumstances, and we felt like God is not listening to us? We felt like God hasn't heard our prayers. We are asking ourselves, where is God? The kids are still acting up. The money is funny. The career is shaking. The spouse is on edge. You're saying, God, where are you? To hear literally means to attend or to consider what has been said. So it's not that Jesus didn't hear Lazarus. It's not that he wasn't concerned about his situation. It's that the scripture says God was trying to get some glory out of his life. He said, this sickness is not unto death. So in other words, it's not going to conclude in death. So the end is not the end. It's really just the beginning. It's not the conclusion. Your current situation is not your conclusion. I don't care what it is. I don't care if you're looking for a job. I don't care what the situation is. It's not over. It may be a physical situation as Lazarus, but it's not over. Tell your neighbor, it's not over. It says it's for the glory of God. And glory in the Greek language means doxa. It literally, in the Old Testament, it is an opinion concerning one resulting in praise and honor and glory. So what God was trying to do was bring about some glory for his name. So Jesus, it says, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, it was for the glory of God, paraphrasing, that the Son of God might be glorified. Verse number 5, it says, now Jesus loved Martha, Mary, or her sister, and Lazarus. So he loves them. They're loved by Jesus, but yet they're living in pain. What do you do when it seems that the one that you love is not responding, as Pastor Jim said, to your call? So verse 6 says, when he heard, therefore, he was sick. But I love the NIV translation. It says, so when he heard. So verse 5 says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Verse 6 says, so when he had heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Favor does not exempt us from fire. For the Bible tells us, and it shows us, that we are to be tried as gold. When gold is tried by fire, it is heated and all the impurities float to the top so that we can purify the gold. The goldsmith does not stop heating to gold until he looks down and he scoops off the scum. He continues to heat it. He looks and he scoops off the scum. He's saying that the gold is not purified until I can see my reflection in the gold. So what Christ is saying, I'm allowing you to go through some things until I can see my character inside of you. I'm allowing you to go through some circumstances until you get out of bitterness and you walk into being better. He's saying, I am going to keep purifying you until my character shows and displayed in your life. I found that to be interesting. I found it to be interesting because it says, and when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Can I bring you to the 21st century? That's like Mary, Martha call and say, hey, look, Lazarus, your friend is sick. And y'all know how you do. You leave people on red. Or you leave people unread. So there are two. To be read is literally a term when people are not replying to your message. I saw it, but I chose not to reply. You know what? You know, come on. Now, when you send a message, you see a sign that says what? Delivered. I know you got it. You just didn't respond. Some people forget to take the receipt notifications off, and it says delivered, read 611, but still there is no reply. So to be read means you're not replying. To be unread means you just hadn't read it. So in whichever the case is, Christ is leaving them on read or unread. You can pick and choose. And there's many reasons for doing that, but I'm going to move right along. Verse number 6 says, when he had heard thereof that he was sick, he abode 2 more days in the same place that he was. So it was a deliberate decision to delay deliverance. So in other words, it was a strategic move for God or for Christ not to show up when he called. I found that to be interesting because this is the same Christ. Anytime he went through Bethany, guess where he stopped and lodged? Mary, Martha, and Lazarus's crib. So in other words, he can show up when she cooks, but he can't show up when she cries. Have you ever felt that way, that God just doesn't show up? It doesn't matter how much servitude I have. It doesn't matter how my worship is. It just seemingly is if God is absent. It seems if God is disconnected. Tell your neighbor it's strategic. It's a plan, and I'm going to move right along. So as we look at the text right here, I want you to understand two different responses. And I want you to ask yourself, which response do I have? Do you have a Mary response or do you have a Martha response? Because if you can remember, Mary was a worshiper, Martha was a worker. So Mary, in another book, in the book of Luke, it was almost some chairs, some tables, and everything was getting ready to be flipped upside down inside of the home. Because Martha was frustrated because Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus and Martha was working. You got to have a balance, but we're going to see how that situation flips. Verse Number 15, it says, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go. He's talking to his disciples so that we can see about Lazarus. Verse 20 says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. So here are two types of responses. Mary's response is her, it is to stop what she's doing. She wants to do nothing. Have you ever been in situations where your circumstances paralyzed you? You can understand if you're operating in faith or you're operating in fear. Fear will immobilize you. Faith will cause you to move and cause you to act. Verse 20. So Martha met Christ at the gate. Verse number 20, it says, Jesus was coming and she went and met him, but Mary stayed at the house. She met him at the gate, but she didn't let him inside. That's kind of ironic, right? How many of us are letting circumstances and situations cause us to not allow Christ to really fully enthrone himself in our hearts, in our minds? Because he was accustomed to going into a personal personified place. But yet she stopped him and met him at the gate. Jesus will only go where he's invited. If you don't invite him into your heart, guess what? He ain't coming. If you don't invite him into your circumstances, guess what? He's not coming. Why is it that we oftentimes allow ourselves to get to a place where we feel like we can do it on our own? 4 days later. Can you imagine at day number one that they had some type of anticipation that Christ was going to show up? They said, Jesus, send word. Lazarus is sick. The one you love is sick. They didn't tell him what the illness was, what the situation was. They said that he's sick. They were expecting him to stop what he was doing to come and see about Christ. So day number one, you can imagine, it's noontime. He'll be here before sun goes down. Day number two, can you expect what happened? Martha's frustration began to grow. So now, when we are not careful, we will allow our faith to turn into hurt and give up on believing that God could still show up and do what he's come to do. Verse 32, let's go there. It says, then Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him. She fell down at his feet saying, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. So here is critical for you to catch in the text. She said, Lord, if you would have been here, Lazarus would not have died. She did not allow her circumstances to shift the perception of who Christ was. When he showed up, she still fell down at his feet at a place of worship, a position of worship. And what did she say? If you had been here, Lord. She still calls him Lord, even though the circumstances are seemingly falling apart. She says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And I found that to be interesting because sometimes we can believe God for what has happened in the past. We can believe God for the future, but we can't believe God for the present. That's why Hebrews 1 says, now faith is the substance of what I'm hoping for. James says, count it all joy when you're in the midst of what you're going through. Still believe God. Despite what you're going through, still believe that God is able to keep you. And verse 32 says, then Mary was come and said to Jesus, God, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Martha said, Jesus is here. Mary stopped what she was doing and went to a place, a position of worship. When your world seemingly falls apart for whatever it is, for whatever reason, where do you find yourself? Do you find yourself at the feet of Jesus? Where do you find yourself when things don't happen the way you expected them to happen? Are you in a position of worship? Are you in a position of anger? Are you in a position of frustration? Where do you find yourself? And Jesus said right here, he says, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Christ is saying, show me the place of your pain. Show me the place of your depression. Show me the place of your bitterness. Show me the place. The Bible says that when he got to the tomb, it was sealed, which was really a cave. It was sealed by a stone. Stones in scripture represents hard hearts. So when you see that, nothing is coming out and nothing is going in. So what are your responses when you go through what you are going through? And I'm going to close with this. Jesus said, take away the stone, Martha. The sister of him that was dead said unto Jesus, Lord, by this time he stinketh. For he's been in the grave for 4 days. So in other words, it's a stinky, dirty situation. John Calvin says, to paraphrase it, he talks about when we move stones that Christ or God wants some participation from us. If you think about scripture, Christ could have said, spoke a word, and what? Lazarus would have been healed. He never had to go to Bethany. But when we look at the scripture in Exodus chapter 14, what did God tell Moses? He says, Moses, stop praying, stretch out your hand, and watch what I do. Sometimes we can use prayer as a way of procrastinating and not moving when God tells us to move. See, we have to pray like everything depends on God. But we have to strategize like everything depends on me or on you. So we got to strategize, we got to plan, but we still have to believe God to bring us through. So he says, move the stone. And Martha said to him, Lord, at this point, he's stinking. So I'm going to ask you, how rotten are you? How rotten is your situation? How rotten is your circumstances? Because God wanted us to see that nothing was beyond the capacity of him to be glorified. Nothing was beyond the capacity for him to deliver. Nothing was beyond the capacity for him to save. In the first century, Jewish superstition had it as if a man or woman or anyone died, the spirit hovered around the body for 3 days, waiting to reconnect, waiting to re-enter, waiting to reconnect with the corpse. That was a Judaism tradition. So what Christ said is, I have to delay coming for 4 days. This was a true suspicion of the Jewish culture. So what God was saying is, I have to get to the point where you are beyond you. I have to get you to the point where when I do come through, when I do answer your prayer, when I do show up, that what? The scripture says in verse number 4, so he will be glorified. we cannot consume the glory of Christ. He wants us to give him all the glory when the situation is said and done. Tell your neighbor, 4 days later. The greatest challenge to faith is not always God's denial. It's when you see that there is no answer. See, if God denies you, you can say, I least got to know. But when you get no answer, that's when all hope begins to leave. That's when you begin to not be optimistic and pessimistic. That's when the possibility of being delivered seems to fade. But after 4 days, Christ shows up and he used what I call the O3 factor. That is the out of options factor. And so whenever you are out of all options is when Christ typically shows up, because he is trying to get the glory. Tell your neighbor, he wants the glory. He wants to wait till after the funeral has passed, after they have sealed the tomb. But what I like about the scripture, and I'm closing with this, the scripture says that Jesus called Lazarus forth. He says, Lazarus, come forth. So when he called Lazarus forth, the scripture shows us that he was still what? Bound in grave clothes. See, sometimes we can be free but still bound. See, he told the people, he said, Lazarus, come forth. He freed Lazarus, but it took a community to free him. So he freed him, but it took a community to deliver him. He freed him, but it takes a community, it takes some accountability, it takes some people working together to see God disciple the individual. God can save, which is instantaneous, but sanctification and discipleship is what? Progressive. It's a process. So 4 days later, and I'm gonna close with this. I want you all to, can I get some participation?
Yes.
And I'm done. How late was Jesus? 4 days later. Was he late? No. He was right on time. Delayed is not a denial. So we're going to try this one more time, okay? I want to give, you know, sometimes the teachers kind of give us a cheat sheet. So I just want to give you a cheat sheet real quick. How late was Jesus? 4 days late. Was he late? No. He was right on time. Delayed is not a denial. Thank you. 4 days later. If you can believe it, you can receive it. It's just a matter of time before he shows up. He wants us to be persistent. The current situation is not the end. Whatever you're believing God for, I know Coach Elder Steve is waiting for some surgical procedures. We're believing God for God to move on his behalf. Whatever we're believing God for, we have to know that God is bigger than that. God bless you.